They would be lumbered to pleasure. Can you get more people out to wear the games than you can to church? Is it hard to do? Hard to keep them out a lot of times, isn't it? Tickets are sold. More of them than they can get a hold of. 23,000 or 26 maybe today. And I'm not blasting against young people. I'm trying to get this over to you. But I'm telling you tonight, it's something that we ought to think about. It's what hurts the elders up when you lose your influence. Now the Bible, as we pointed out recently, and we've been linking this in all along, if you will keep up with it, and if you remember how that people are going and they're partaking of all of these things, and Paul said they would have food. Those people that loved the worldly things, they'd have what? A form of godliness. Acting like Christians. That's what it means. Pretending to be saints. And they would act that way. But he said, have a form of godliness, but what? Denying the power thereof. And somebody said, preacher, well, don't you turn away from that. Everybody's doing it. The Bible said, do it. And that's why I'm doing it. I'm a human being. I'm a human being, and so are the rest of you. You enjoy, but listen to what I preached here before, and we'll bring it to your mind again tonight. And you remember, in order to win and go to heaven, you've got to lose this life. And if you save it, you're going to walk. Now, what does that mean? What does that mean? Have you ever really stopped to study that? If you save this life, you're going to lose it. If you lose this life, or the desires of the natural man, that's the meaning of it. If you hold on to that, then you're going to lose your influence. You're going to lose the life eternal. This life that a child of God lives, friends, it's not because the natural man wants to live it. It's because the soul has been saved. That's what the Spirit of God is within it. And the reason that he goes on as a child of God is because the Spirit of God leads and directs him by the way. Now, therefore, people, according to this Bible, and you have here, as we pointed out, as the preacher called me the other day, talking, and wanted to know. He wanted to know the real me, and to have the discussion. And that was Matthew 7, and he was talking about it. And he said, they said that probably every lost person, an ancient servant, let that to it, they were referring to. Now listen, friend, let me tell you something tonight. You get this. Get it. Listen to what he said. Read it when you get home if you want to. He said, enter ye in at the straight gate. And he told the reason why. You remember, he said, broad is the gate. Wide is the way that leads to what? To destruction. And many that be which go in there. There are a lot of people, they're in a way. Now, let me make it plainer in the book of Proverbs. Christ is mentioned only one word in those two different verses, and that's change. And notice now what he said. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So then tonight, people are talking about. You've got to find the way. You've got to find Christ. And when Christ comes in, the natural man that is inside of it, then, friends, the power of God, you talk about living well enough and good enough to get to heaven. I've never read in the Bible any such teaching, though it's spread in this country. If you don't live it, why, then, of course, they say you don't get in there. You just can't get in. Let me tell you something tonight. It's not us that live that life. Paul makes it clear in the Galatians. He said, the life that I live in the flesh, that fleshly life, in other words, this man is crucified. And that's why the body of Christ was nailed to the cross. He laid that body down. That was crucified. And that was, he had to give his life on the cross. That was the natural life. He didn't give up his spiritual life. It was his natural life. And then, you remember that he wanted to explain that. And it's so plain in the Bible, if people would stop and study it and try to get the real meaning of Paul said in the Galatian letter, he said, it's no more I that live, but Christ that liveth in me. Now, this natural man that doesn't put forth some proof or evidence that there is life within him. I'm not talking about this breath that I breathe. If there's not evidence there that Christ, the Spirit of Christ, lives within you, then, friends, according to this Bible. Now, people will say, well, I know. Now, this one's going to stick a little, and I know it is, but you fight the Bible. Don't you come to me with it. If you want to fight anything, you fight the Word of God. Now, here's what he said. Do you claim here, people, tonight? Do we claim to be good trees? Do it? Well, now, if we're children of God, according to the Bible, we are. We are. Not that we are sanctified, a soul, body, and mind. I'm not talking about that. But I'm telling you tonight that according to the Bible here, we are good trees. That is, our bodies are in the hands of the Lord. Now somebody said, I don't know whether I'm going to take that or not. Turn to 1 Corinthians 6 and read that and say, we're not our own. Who? The natural man. We're not our own. And he said, we're bought with a price. Therefore, do what? Glorify God in your flesh and in the spirit. And why? Because they both belong to God. Now back to the tree. And then you take it. Spin it out. Do it up. Slaughter it. How do you want to do it? Here's what you find in Matthew 7. See if I'm telling you to do it. Do you read it like this? A good tree cannot. What? A good tree cannot. What? Bring forth evil fruit. Now that's hard for people to take. But then he went on and he said, a corrupt tree cannot bring forth good fruit. And then what else did he say? You know, that we have here in St. John 15, there's a sweet lesson there, and people will read that, and they say, well, to abide in that vine, well, brother, you've got to be put into that vine. That's the real meaning of it. There's got to be life. And when a branch comes forth from the vine, then we, let's listen to it. The Lord said in St. John 15, he said, I am the true vine. My Father is the husband. And he said concerning that every life of hers, he's going to strengthen it. And then tonight, I'm telling you, the ones that have done it wrong, then they're going to be cut off. And so tonight, here's another that the preacher was talking about. He called me every little bit. He's much older than I am. In fact, he has already given up all of his church work as far as I'm concerned. But then he was talking about this. And he said, what about that concerning the ground and the sower that went forth to sow? Now let me tell you something, friend. The Lord did not sow those seeds where those tares grew up. He didn't sow that. And he said that they're talking about that was referring to the church. You read it and see what it says in Matthew 13. If you care to read it, Luke 8. And both of those read them. And now, what do we have? Notice here, if you will, he said that as the sower went forth and sowed the good seed. And then, there while he slept, there comes the devil in. And he began to sow. And you know that looks almost like wheat. You could tell it was from a little sprout of wheat that's coming up. But brother, when I get up here and the fruit of that fire that we've been telling you all along, that John the Baptist never did, no record in the Bible, not in it, where he ever baptized anyone that did not bring forth fruit, meat, or repentance. Not a word that you can find. That's why that people say today it's not important when we talk about baptism and all of those things, but it is important. And that's the main thing. And then he went on, and he said that, as that said, a devil, he slipped in, and he began to sow the seed. And then when they went out, and don't you know how that two children of God knew the difference? They knew the difference. Why? It's because of what they saw there in the field. And I've seen people, have you ever seen any that act just like and other places, and that they were just ready to take off even without wings and going right on into heaven? And the Lord makes it clear here in the Word of God. And you remember in Matthew 23 concerning the Pharisees. And not a record in the Bible that I've ever read where any Pharisee went to heaven as a Pharisee. He had to be convicted and converted. And I'll prove that to you if you take Bible proof. It certainly said your righteousness overcome the righteousness of the Pharisees. Ye shall in no wise enter into heaven. And so tonight, when we see, and they went and they said, Lord, what about this now? When you're out here and I see people that are lost, you don't want to blame them. You don't want to begin to kick them down. They don't know any better. They don't know any better. They're just like a little baby that would crawl up here and touch a stove. They don't know any better. Why? What I mean by that, spiritually. They don't know any better. But after all, you remember, they said, Lord, do you want us to go out there and root up all the tanks? Do you want us to go out there and get all of them and dig them up? And he said, no, let them go. And let me tell you something tonight. That was not the church. That was the field. And he said the field is the world. He made it plain, not the church, but the field is the world. And so when you see lost people out here in the world, you can't believe them. You can't run them down. You can't slur them. And I want to bring that to you. A lot of people today that claim to be so sanctified and so sweet in the eyes of men, and if they come across somebody that's down in the ditch and all of that, they want to walk around them. Well, you remember, did the Lord ever talk to anybody that had a bad character? Did he? Did he ever talk to any of us that was down in the ditch and had been caught in the very act of sin? Did he? Did he talk to people like that? I'm going to tell you tonight. I'm telling you tonight the thing, the proper thing, that the Ivy God is to point out to people of that today, the ones that call themselves the church body, they're partaking of everything in the world. Everything. They've got everything that could be imagined. And when you begin to preach against it, well, they say, you can't do that. You can't get worthy people in if you do that. The church does not need worthy people in the church. The church needs worthy people to come to church and hear the truth, be convicted and converted, and bring forth truth and meet for repentance or evidence for that. And then they can be baptized into the body of Christ, which is the church. What if we live here in the world? I've already lifted up my head. I'm telling you like this. I don't have time. I don't want to back to preacher, but I do want to go back. And I want us to think. Now, I told you many times from this pulpit and others. You remember that he said here from the time this would start, he said that there would be 40 and 2 months. And so then we have all of this that's recorded here in the Bible. And then from the time when you see this coming up, friends, can I get it over to you? Can I make you realize that we're living in an age when we're getting right ready right now, and that is said in Matthew 24, these things that you see in here, he said, these are the beginning of sorrows. I told you here, not today, I just had the book with me. I tried to preach right in the Bible. And all of these things, and there's got to be the government's going to bring farming under its control. The government's going to bring what you've got under control. Whether you believe it or not, why people say, I don't believe that. It doesn't matter for the change in the teaching of the Bible. Whether you believe it or not, it's the truth just the same. These things before. And look how quick it's getting hold of. You remember there's got to be a worldwide government. Got to be. And what is that? You remember that we talked to you about Judas and all of his work that he carried on, and somebody said he was a child of God. If you go back in the teaching of the Old Testament, you'll find that the teaching of the Bible teaches people that God said not to hear his prayer. Let his prayer become sin. Worship at 109th division of Psalms. Turn and read yourself. Then turn over to the book of Luke, the first chapter, and you'll read what did he say. He said, let another work in the 109th division of Psalms. Let another take his own. That's in the book of Psalms. And the book of Psalms is about the middle of the Old Testament here. Now what do we have? What do we have? And listen to what else he said. You remember that he said, let his children be bastards. Don't let that gives that commanding of it are to support his children. What else did he say? Let his wife be a widow. Now come back to the letter here in the Galatian letter, chapter 4. If you care to read it, and you'll read about Abraham, you'll read about two wives and two women there that we read about. Now, one was not a free woman. What was the other? A bond woman. All right. Then, of course, as we see, when you go on to that, I don't have time to go on to all of it tonight. And he said that the one that has not a husband, she'll have more children than the one that has the husband. And let me tell you something tonight, friends, that church is where the word of God is found. And then the church members or members of that body are to be doers of the word. How many people? How many of you tonight, when the benediction said, yeah, how much will you take home with you? How much will that? How far will it come? And people are talking about all of these things. Now then, notice which one that Abraham took with him. Which one did he say? That child that was born of the free woman. Now then, when the Lord here in St. John, if the Son sets you free, he shall be free indeed. And then you remember, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. So do that. Where are we living? You're going. Let me give you a little. I know you won't have much time to think about it. I realize that. I know that. They were eating and drinking. How much do you see today that goes along with the days before the flood? Do you see much sign of it? Are they eating and drinking and giving in marriage? What happened in Lot's day? How long did it go on? All the preaching that I can do, I might reach a few people, but I doubt when there'll be very many more people saved. I'm basing my statement upon this book. I'm going to tell you, whether you believe it or not, that there's not a group of young people that can go out here and take a Bible. You can call it anything you want to. You can call it the living word of God or whatever you want to call it. There's not a group of young people, middle-aged or old, that can go out here and read people into salvation. It can't be done. Everyone that's saved is going to have to hear the gospel. Then believe it to be the gospel, and then know it to be that. There's no way up. And people today, they're going over young, groups of people. They claim they're standing over there, educating them now. They go over there, and they're going in, taking their Bibles, and they'll sit down, and they'll read these scripture verses. Now listen. Listen to St. John 5:39. Let's see what he said. You see it every Sunday morning if you want to amen to see it. You'll see it. There's a program, and I call it a program, too. And the title of that, or that that you'll see, will be Search the Scriptures. Search the Scriptures. Now, what does that teach? Let's get it all. Search the Scriptures, why? For in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. You better know that you've received the knowledge from God, that you've been born again. All you read the Bible, and you can go down there and say, I won't be baptized. Well, it says that in Mark 16:16. You hear it broadcast everywhere. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Listen, don't let that he that believeth get away from it. It's according to what he believes. If he believes that natural water washed away sin, he's going to hell. There's no other route. There's no other route. Why? He that believes what? Believes with all of his heart that Jesus Christ is the only begotten Son of God, and then confesses that with his mouth. That's salvation. May God help you. God, I wake up in the night, crack that old tree. Tonight, I wake up in the night. I don't know when the Lord comes. Somebody would say, well, I look in the morning. Well, you may get up here about 5 something when the sun rises, and you may be looking for the Lord. What about those people over yonder, some other place, where there's altogether difference in the time of the day? What about that? Well, if they get up over there, if we get up here, and it's become here to rising of the sun, as some talk about it, by somebody four ways, they're fruits with it. You know what this book teaches is all that we need. And I'll tell you tonight, I look out at my thing, and I do. I'm rejoicing. I'm rejoicing. There's many things that I've suffered through life. And I'm proud of it. God knew best. But that day's ahead when children of God are going to look up, lift up their heads and rejoice. Why? Because it's all going to be over with. Are you ready? Are you prepared here tonight for that hour? Do you know it if you are saying you do? And may God bless everyone. I know I have gone a little longer than I really felt like that I would speak tonight. But I'll tell you tonight, my heart is bubbling over. David said one time, he said, my heart is broken. My bones, and it was because the people, they've gone away from the commandments of God. And the people that are going all out to support all these great evangelists, and they got more money than they know what to do with, and everything, and the preachers that used to walk in the snow, through the rain. Not much so. No, but I, in my memory, I thank God that I can thank God. When they carried the book, not for money, but because of love.
Amen.
And that's why I'm going tonight. I've never, in my 2 years of preaching, I've never earned what people call a salary. I've had it become, as I've said before, to my home. And they'd say, well, here it is, preacher. You're not drawing enough money according to the records we have in the minutes here. You're not drawing enough to feed all those children and get by. Here's what they told me. I've told you about before. They said, would you go along, back up our program? Would you, if you do that, help us to get our programs organized in the churches? And I'll tell you the man's name at that time was Dr. Boone. And they said, we'll see him. And he'll give you a pastor's salary that you can live on and feed these children. I can take you to a tree. Or where I was sitting, there may not be a tree there now, but there was at that time. And said, we'll see that you get enough. And I said, keep your money. I don't want it. I said, if I didn't feel like God take care of me during my preaching days that I live here, I'd quit. I'll quit. Let's have a song. I want to shake hands with you tonight. No more we run to our conference. Right. But that's all. I love you. Number two, I want you to pray. I'm asking you kindly to pray for me that God will use me for His glory, live or die. It doesn't matter what me, just to glorify God. Let's stand.